All right, a pleasure to bring in the professor this morning, Ron Wotus. Well, how are you?
I'm well, Marty. Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Mother's Day again. God, you and I have been doing this show for 10, 11 years. Every Mother's Day, it's always a special day, I know, in your house. So get your thoughts on Mother's Day for you and Lori.
Yeah, well, I just hung up the phone with my mom. You know, she's back in Connecticut, and she's heading over to my brother's today. They're going to have a little brunch with my sister-in-law's mom, so I'm happy that she'll be with family. You know, those are things that I miss being in this job, as everybody has their cross to bear at their jobs and can't make things. But, yeah, you know, you think back to when I was a kid, and the parents are so important. And, you know, my mom was extremely important to us. She was always there. And, you know, she continues to worry about me all the time, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. Moms are moms. They're still concerned. They worry about their kids. So love her to death. I hope she has a great day. And they just deserve it. They deserve more than one day, moms do.
And Lori has been a mom to many people in the family.
Yeah. She's, you know, we don't have any of our own kids. You know, but we have a lot of nieces and nephews. And Lori's been always one to help out wherever she can. She loves all the kids in the family and spends a lot of time with them. And, you know, that's probably because she's part of the reason is probably because I'm never around. She needs family around. So she's very close with everybody. And I really appreciate everything she does for our family.
No, it's not simple being involved in baseball, being a spouse in baseball, absolutely not easy to do. I don't care what level you're on. Hey, high school baseball is in full swing, Woe, out at Islanders Field. Our good friend Don Johns has an incredible season going over there. He brings out these top-quality high school teams to Islanders Field every weekend. And you can go to their website, islandersfield.org, but it's part of River Islands, to see the schedule. But what a great way to spend the Saturday. You know, the weather is gorgeous. You're out of River Islands. It's a fabulous field. It really is. And Don Johns is doing a nice job out there.
Yeah, well, I've known Don for a long, long time, over 20-plus years. And you know, he's been a heck of a coach in the Bay Area, working with the Danville Hoots. And I think he's been to the World Series and one more World Series than the Giants have. And now he's heading up, you know, all the activities there at River Islands. And this was kind of his brainchild to do this. And as you said, the field is a beautiful setting along the San Joaquin River there. And, you know, that's a great way to see River Islands. Like you said, you want to go out and watch some good baseball. High school kids that, you know, go on to college, some of them get drafted. Go out, check out the facility, and you can see everything else it has to offer. So we got beautiful weather out there. It's beautiful weather here today as well. We had a hot day yesterday, and so it's a perfect weekend to do something like that.
Well, what a ball club. In first place by 2.5 over the Padres. You've seen the Padres 8 times already. You've beaten them 5 out of 8. But you and I talked about this so many times. It's the veterans have got to have the big years. And, boy, are they having it. Crawford, Posey, Longoria, Belt, they're doing the job.
Yes, they are. And as we said, we're not going to go where we need to go with the veterans. Don't have the years they're capable of. I mean, you look at these guys and you look at the back of their baseball cards and they've had some outstanding years. And right now, I think all of them are on pace to have, you know, one of their top years. There's a lot of baseball to go, as we know. And but I expect them to continue. I really do. Something about this club, you know, when you have an offense and you have hitters throughout the lineup and you have hitters on the bench. You know, I think that's one of our strengths is when we have an injury, we're able to plug in another quality at bat. And hitting is contagious, and they're rejuvenated. You know, a couple of them are in contract years, and as I said, hitting is contagious. The hitting coaches have done a good job laying out the plan and helping these guys. And they're all off to great starts, and I expect it to continue.
Boy, how about Posey, though? Let's just talk about him for a second. Longoria, boy, you lay that ball in the outside part of the plate, and it's into right center. He's driving in runs like crazy. Started early in the year. You said even in spring training, it seems like he's got 30 home runs already. But Posey's the guy. Well, this is an OPS of 1231, 8 homers, 12 RBIs, and just incredible hitting the ball the other way. What about Posey?
Yeah, well, we all wondered, you know, how it was going to be, him returning after a year off. And as we can see, it definitely didn't hurt him. If anything, it's helped him. I think, you know, not so much as just him being healthy. You know, he battled that hip for a couple years and couldn't turn on the ball the way he wanted to the previous couple years. Took last year off. He's 2 years removed from the surgery. And a lot of times these things take that long before you're feeling good. You know, Buster looks strong. He's always had a great eye at the plate. Shoot, I can remember the his first year in 2010. In a World Series, the at-bats that he would put up, he was a lot like Barry Bonds in the fact that he didn't chase outside of the zone. And when he got a pitch to hit, because, you know, he was one of our best hitters, and the other managers, they navigate that lineup, you know, and the pitchers, they don't want the best player to beat you. He's been our best player. But when he gets a pitch to hit, he hits it. And he's back to that form right now, and it's great to see.
How about the two Brandons? You know, Belt, you might as well start the count 3-2. But 7 home runs for him. And Crawford, every time he hits a home run, it looks like a game winner.
Yeah, and I think Brandon Belt is going to have his best year ever, personally. I think he's matured as a player. You know, he's always had real good months. And, you know, some freak injury or something happens. He really hasn't been able to stay on the field and or put that year together for the full season. And, again, I expect him to do it this year. I think, you know, he has much more experience. I talked to him the other day about it, and he just feels like, you know, he's the best he's ever been. You know, the game slows down for you when you have that experience. And I see it at the plate. You know, he don't miss those fastballs like he used to. There was a time in his career he'd swing and miss a lot of fastballs. And now he just spits on them, and when he swings, he hits it. And we've talked about Craw. You know, I mean, his defense has always been, you know, steady and above average out there. He's continuing to do that. But I think you said it, Marty. He gets more out of his average than any player in the game. I think he leads the team in RBIs. I'm not sure of that. But, you know, he's hitting around 250, and I know his RBIs are close to 20. So he's a very productive player, offensive player for us.
Yeah, I think he's two behind Belt is where he is now. But
okay.
It seems like every time he drives in a run, it's a big run. So, yeah, so it's a good start. Boy, 2.5 in first. It's May. But I've said it before, I feel that 2010 feeling with this team, that good things are happening. Well, let's go to school with the professor on a Sunday morning. I watch a lot of baseball, and I watch pitchers try to cover home on a tag play, on a wild pitch or something like that. And it seems like, number one, that they're going to get knocked over, and number two, they're never in position, and number three, they never catch the ball. Well, this is a very tough play.
Yeah, it is. It's an important play. It's, you know, it's hardly ever worked on. I mean, you go through it in spring training one time. You know, a lot of these half fields you're working on doesn't even have a true distance for a backstop. So, you know, it's one of those things you kind of check the box off on, you know, show them how to cover home plate. And then they never do it. And, you know, they're in a panic, right? They're running full speed to get home. You got a runner coming in. They got to stop on a dime. They got to take the throw and put the tag down. And it really isn't easy when you don't do it very often. I think it's a high anxiety moment for a lot of them. And, you know, they just got to plant their feet over that plate and put their nose in there and slap that tag down. But it can be a little unnerving. So, I mean, you see it a lot. And the catchers are, in, you know, running back there, and they're in a rush too, try to make it good, to give them a throw. And they get it half the time, and they just fire that thing to the pitcher, and you don't know where it's going. So there's a lot going on. It really, it's a play that should be reviewed during the season, and make sure they get a couple reps with it so they feel more comfortable doing it.
Well, it's good to have Bill with us this morning. Bill, that is one of the tougher plays I think a pitcher has to make.
100%, both to you and Mark, and good morning, Mr. Wotus. I think
good
the
morning.
Biggest thing, too, is to watch the runner coming down third base, Marty, and not getting spiked, because these guys are busting their tail down there, and you have to keep an open lane to get the catcher to throw the ball to you, but at the same time, get your feet out of the way so you don't get spiked. And I've seen a lot of pitchers just get mulled over, and a lot of times they get hurt from that play. But it's a bang-bang play, as Ron said. And the biggest thing is just get home, watch for the ball, and then make the tag. And there's just so much happening right there for a pitcher, and he turns into a defensive player. It's a great play if it's run right, but as you say, Marty, a lot of times it doesn't.
Boy, tough play, very tough. Well, you up in Colorado, you guys, in that 6-5 game, there was a double steal in there, and it worked out beautifully. The ball was thrown away. Dubon almost scored the tying run from first base. But I watched it, and I said, boy, double steal, why not? Why don't more teams do it? It seems like with the shift and everything else that's going on, double steal should work.
Yeah, well, you know, the Padres are the team that do it a lot. Tatis has done it when he was at second base in the trail runner. They've done it four times already. They got us in San Diego. We talked about it, I think, last week, and we're fully aware of it. You know, you got to do that inside move. The pitcher has to slide step. And what they're trying to do is move two runs in the scoring position instead of just one. And they do it with two outs, too, you know, which is a good play. I mean, you don't want to get thrown out at third, but if you know you can make it, you move that runner at first base in the scoring position, and that's what we were trying to do in Colorado. I mean, you're always one swing of the bat away from scoring that guy from first in Colorado, right? Because a homer's so easy. But that was all Crawford. You know, we were down by two. I can't remember, it was one or two outs, but there was two strikes on the batter, and the pitcher was giving it to him. And Craw said, heck, I'm going to go. And that's another part of his game that is kind of overlooked, how good of a base runner he is and how he can take advantage of those situations. And he did right there. He knew the pitcher was one look at him and wasn't paying attention, and he took off. And that's where Dubon was the trail runner. As a trail runner, you got to keep your eyes on the guy at second, expect him to go, and make sure you get a good jump, because they tried to get Dubon at second base. And as you said, they threw the ball away. And a lot of times, if that runner at first is sleeping, then they get the trail runner. They throw to second and get you out. So Dubon did a good job there, and Craw made the play happen.
What about defending it? Because you got in the shift, you got people all over the place. How do you defend it? Who covers second? Who makes that play?
Yeah, well, usually there's a guy closer to second because of positioning where everybody plays today. When a left-hander's up, that shortstop is, you know, he's right behind the bag, or the second, or the righty up, their second baseman seems to be playing right up the middle as well. Sometimes it can be difficult where it's a foot race to third because, you know, the third baseman has to stay close enough to third if the guy steals that he can get there. And he can't go all the way to shortstop. Because the runner can just, you know, walk to third because he can't get to it. So the third baseman's always trying to position himself as far off the line towards second as he possibly can, because that's where, you know, everybody's hitting the ball. But he's got to be able to get the third on a steal. And so it's an uncomfortable thing for the third baseman. They have to be on their toes. And sometimes guys try to steal third just because the third baseman is so far off the line, and it's going to be a foot race. You know, with the runner and the third baseman running to cover third, and the catcher's got to throw to the third baseman on the run, it's not an easy play.
No, I think it should happen more often. Bill, what do you think?
I think it's a bang-bang play also, and I think it gives you that aggressiveness on the bases. And as Ron said, the Padres are just blowing it up on stolen bases. It's just hard to defend all the time. I mean, catchers are on their toes. Pitchers have to throw more over when you have an aggressive team. But one of the questions I wanted to ask Ron this morning, coaching third base, less than two outs, runner on third, when do you put that contact play on, and when is it not a good time to do it?
Yeah, Bill, good morning to you. Good question. You know, there's so many factors that are involved, the score of the game, the speed of the runner, who you have coming up. There's really, you know, not a cut and dry time that you do it, but I would say the most important thing is you really want to have a guy that has speed. that a guy where he could possibly beat the play. If you're a slower runner, it's very difficult to go on contact and expect to be home. Now, a time you might do it with a slow runner is maybe it's a tie game and, you know, it's the ninth inning and you have second and third and nobody out. And you have a slow runner at third, the infield's in. Well, why not go? The guy at second's going to come to third. If he's thrown out at home, you're still going to have a man on third with less than with only one out. So why hold him playing for the two runs, especially if you're a home team and that's the winning run? You might just send him right there. But even on the road, you might take a crack at going on contact because, as you see, sometimes the ball's hit. You know, I mean, you're breaking as soon as you see contact down. You don't know where the ball's going. Sometimes it's hit up the middle, and the shortstop or the second baseman's moving up the middle, like Lestella the other day, and they have to dive to catch the ball, and the slow guy can score. So it really depends on the scoreboard and the situation and whether you just want to roll the dice on a play like that.
Boy, interesting. Hey, we've got the mustache thing going, and it reminds me back of 1972 with the A's and Charlie Finley. I think someone grew a mustache, and probably Ray Fossey is listening to the show this morning. It was either Ray or Raleigh Fingers or somebody. And before you knew it, Charlie Finley said, all right, I'll give everyone $250 if they grow a mustache. And those great A's teams of 2-3 and 72, 3 and 4, they had mustaches. Ron Bergman wrote a book called The Mustache Gang. And you kind of have that happening. So it's a bonding experience on a team, and you've got a little bit of that going right now.
Well, you always have something that comes up during a season where the team wants to do that. You know, when I was with the Pirates in my short stint, we didn't have anything at the major league level that, you know, the guys caught on to. But, of course, in the minor leagues, Bill will tell you as well. I mean, there's always some wacky thing guys want to do. I remember one of the guys wanted everybody to shave their head. And, like, you know, half the guys are like, I'm not shaving my head. You know, half the guys shaved their head, half did not. You know, the easy one is the high socks, right? Everybody's wearing the high socks like Hunter Pence, you know. Hunter wears them above his knee, right? He wears them up to his thigh. But there's always something that somebody comes up with to make it fun and make it light. You know, it's like the kangaroo court you've mentioned so many times, Marty. Those things go a long way. I mean, we're together an awful lot. There's a lot of dead time in this clubhouse when you get here at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game. And those things make it fun, huh, Bill? What do you think?
It's totally right, and there's so many pranksters on every team, and there's so many things that go on. You know, grow the beard when Brian Wilson was around, and it's what it does, though, Ron. And you know this: it builds the clubhouse, it brings the characters out, and it brings the laughter out, and you get relaxed, and you get to jar on some people that might not be that way, but you loosen them up. And I think with the mustache thing, it's something to get off of baseball with. You look at Slater, and you look at Yastrzemski, and now you see Talkman growing a beard, who was clean shaven with the Yankees. It just brings the team together, and even with the coaches, there's a lot of laughter with it, and I think that's the key to this.
So are you growing a mustache? Well,
I got a little one there. You know, I've had a little one. It's been there for a long, long time. I tell you what, I'm not shaving it off, so I hope they don't have to do that.
All right. We'll see what happens. But I'm not sure the look, to tell you the truth, on Yastrzemski and Slater. Maybe we're just not used to it, but it's just kind of the look doesn't go for me.
What about you, Marty? Did you used to wear mustaches in the younger days?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, if you go on the Internet, there's a whole bunch of pictures. Yeah, in 1969, that's when I first grew a mustache, and those were the days of the remember those black lights that you'd have and you know, it would illuminate everything in a room.
Yeah.
So we did that, and I painted on a mustache with the black light. I said, gee, this looks pretty good. And I kept it probably, 45 years. And then decided. But it is. It's fun. It was a fun thing to do at that time. So I'm glad the team is doing it. I'm glad they're doing it. Well, a couple other things. One, the play I saw on TV this week, and again, the way these shifts work, it's amazing that teams with speed don't take better advantage of it. But Gleyber Torres scored from second on a ground ball, and no one was at third, and the catcher went halfway up the line at third, and he ran past the catcher. And Villar, I think, of the Mets did the same thing. Well, what about that kind of play? Who goes where? Because let's face it, you can score on a crazy play on a ground ball.
Yeah, there's no question. I think we're you know, you get into problems. As say there's a runner on first and you have the shift on. So there's no one at third base. You know, one place you see it happen once in a while, and this guy could end up scoring for all you know if they don't run their positioning, you know, where I have their coverage right. So you got a guy at first base, he goes to steal the base, you know. Some teams have the shortstop cover. Well, if he's covering second and the throw is just a little wide or hits the ground, that runner who's stealing can run right past him. There's nobody at third. So what we teach our guys in the spring, and Kai did this quite a bit, is, you know, if that shortstop goes to cover, the pitcher's supposed to come to third. Well, Bill, you know pitchers, right? I mean, that play is going to come up like covering home. How many times? Three times in a year? You're not thinking about that. You're thinking about getting the hitter out. Mm-hmm. So if the pitcher doesn't cover, I think what happened in their case maybe is the catcher, you know, is watching the play. Nobody there. He runs up to third. Now the runner's running, and now they try to redirect the ball, you know, to the catcher who's halfway up the line, and the runner can just keep going. It's hard to hit somebody on the run. So, you know, in reality, I always like the second baseman who's on the second base side to cover when there's a steal if you're in a shift, so the guy at short can retreat to third, and it just makes it a lot easier. You don't run into that problem asking the pitcher to cover third base on a shift because they're just not ready to do that. And the catcher's doing a good thing. A catcher's once in a while, when there's a broken play, yeah, they run down the third because there's nobody there on a shift. And if that happens, your first baseman should be alert enough to say, hey, the catcher went to third. I need to come down to home plate. Mm-hmm. So those type plays get a little bit crazy. It's how alert your players are in the field watching the play and know that I need to go cover a base. But it doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, it sure looks bad.
I tell
Bill,
you one
must,
thing.
Yeah, Bill, must yeah, one you, thing, right?
Yeah, well, one thing, Marty and Ron, I think with the catcher, everything's in front of him. You know, you're seeing it from behind home plate. And I think that's the first reaction the catcher does is he goes to the empty base. Now, the pitcher's always supposed to follow the play and know where he's supposed to go. And, Ron, you made a good point. The first baseman needs to come home if he sees that catcher go to third. And that was just a great heads-up play by the runner.
Yeah, I'm telling you, people are going to have to figure this out because the shift puts people in different positions away from their normal base, and you get a good runner with good speed in the game, you should be able to take advantage of stuff like that. Well, the defense of the Giants has been terrific, whether it's soft contact from the starting pitcher, best in baseball, but for some reason, defensively, this club is the best in baseball with the fewest errors. What do you think?
Well, we work extremely hard at it, right? I mean, pitching and defense, and you know, we're definitely pitching, and we're catching the ball. When you look around the field now, and you have Posey behind the plate, Longo's having a great year at third, Brandon Crawford, another Gold Glover, Brandon Belt over there at first is always in the running for the Gold Glove. That's a pretty darn good infield, and then you mix in a veteran like Flores and LaStella, and you know, they're not known for their defense, but Cap has done a good job. You know, when we have a lead, he brings Dubon into second base when we can. And, you know, Dubon's a very good infielder. I mean, that's the position he played, and he makes us better. So the thing that I'm most pleased with is, you know, we have the guys that can do this in the infield. And, of course, the outfield, we have some guys. Duggar's been getting some more playing time. Yaz has been a good outfielder. So, but the thing I'm pleased with is we're not making mistakes, you know. And once in a while, you're going to boot a ground ball. But we're not making a lot of mistakes on crazy plays or, you know, diving for balls you shouldn't dive for or throwing balls away when you have no play, things of that nature. Those are the ones that really hurt you. So, real pleased with the way the club has been playing. And we're winning games. And, you know, we do have veterans on the field for most part. And they know how to play. They know how to play the game.
You know, it's nice to see Duggar smiling on a baseball field, isn't it?
Yes, it is. He's really resurrected his swing a little bit. He's made some great adjustments since spring training. He's putting up really good at-bats. You know, we've always wanted him to bunt. because that was one of his strengths, is his speed, and he utilized his speed. He's trying to put a bunt down every chance he gets to get on base, so he kind of knows his role, and that's maturity. You know, guys get better. They understand who they are and what they need to do to stay in the big league, so he's done great.
Well, Cueto today comes off the injured list. Johnny Cueto, there's no minor leagues to go for rehab starts. He just comes right in. What do you think?
Yeah, Johnny's been through it a number of times. And, you know, the veterans do have the choice a lot of times whether they want to go to a rehab start or just, you know, throw on the side and jump in the game. So it's been done before, and Johnny's one guy that can handle it. I'm happy to have him back. I mean, he's Johnny Cueto, right? He knows how to pitch. So I'm looking forward to seeing him today and getting him back in our rotation.
Do we know who's going for San Diego, or is this the Sunday suspense that we go through with them?
Well, you know, I didn't check my phone this morning coming in. There was a rumor that Paddock might be starting. It wasn't confirmed last night. I heard that. So I'm not 100% sure right at this moment, but I'll find out as soon as I get off the phone here with you, Marty.
All right. Texas for two, and then to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, two cities that are always a challenge, Cincinnati especially, and Pittsburgh, a beautiful park. Things usually happen there. So, but those are teams that you guys should handle. But those are two parks that that you like playing in, aren't they?
Yeah. I think, you know, our hitters, you know, playing here at our ballpark, it's not as friendly as Cincinnati, that's for sure. I mean, you can hit the ball out anywhere in that ballpark. It's a good hitter's park. Pittsburgh's got the short right field, obviously, and you can hit some balls out there. But Pittsburgh doesn't have the club Cincinnati does. And you know what? We've played, I don't know what our record is, but it feels like we played at least 500 on the road. And, you know, there are two clubs, or at least Pittsburgh, that we should, you know, we should take the series. And that's kind of been our mantra, is we just want to win series. So we got to go back east. You know, that takes a little bit out of you. And I think we're in a long stretch here of games played without an off day. I think when we come back from the East Coast, we don't have an off day as well. So, well, you know, it should be a good trip for us. We need to continue. I mean, because the team we're playing here, San Diego, we played some pretty good teams here. San Diego's a really, really good team, and we're handling them. So we need to do the same thing when we head back east there.
Yeah, you got the Dodgers for three at home when you come back from Cincinnati. Well, have a great day. Have a wonderful Mother's Day with Lori. And you got two home games with Texas, and then it's off to the road. But, boy, for the first beginning of the season, we couldn't ask for a better beginning. So enjoy the day. Bill, you got a final thought?
Well, I just want to say, get some more runs. Get Johnny Cueto some early runs there, Ron. Get that wheel going on that arm and start getting some, you know, these early runs like you did yesterday in the second inning with Craw. Do that a little bit more. I'd like to see that today.
Hey, that's spoken like a true pitcher. They want some runs on the board so they can challenge them hitters, boy. It gets a little tough when you can't give up one run. That's not a good way to pitch, is it, Bill?
That's right. Now, you know what, Ron? I blame you for all those losses. You know, the third base coach is always the guy.
All right,
have a great day, Ron.
Have a great day. All right.
Well, take care. All right. That is you our too. Third base coach of the San Francisco Giants.